Grace to you and peace through the knowledge of God our Father and through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found recorded in the book of Acts. We read there in chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "Would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of the Lord spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Here ends the text. In Christ Jesus, the head of the church, your fellow redeemed, and especially you, newly elected officers, St. Paul congregation, soon to be installed. Our text talks about events that happened in the very first Christian congregation in the New Testament era, the one that was founded in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. I'm sure you remember how on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, through the powerful law and gospel proclamation of Simon Peter, gathered congregation of Christians together of 3,000 souls. And that early church at Jerusalem was very unique in a number of ways. It was, of course, located in the city where Jesus conducted the lion's share of his ministry and where the temple was located, where he did a lot of his teaching and where he was condemned, crucified, and rose. In other ways, this church was pretty much like every other Christian church. Its main focus was to proclaim the saving message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. The sacraments, Lord's Supper and baptism, were administered in it. The Bible was studied by the adults, and little ones were trained up in the Lord. Another way this church was like all others is that the members would come together for meetings to talk about various aspects of the Lord's work and address needs that came up as they carried out their joint gospel ministry. And this particular congregation had developed a system for distributing food to help poor widows. And some of them were being neglected due to the large number of disciples. And so the 12 then arranged for a special meeting to talk about the issue, proposed that some laymen be selected to supervise this work. On this day when we are installing laymen from our midst to serve as church officers, elected at last Sunday's annual meeting, we want to consider the Bible truth that Jesus calls lay workers to serve him and his congregation still today. We're going to talk about the need for lay workers in the church and then also the importance of their work for the Lord and finally the qualifications that the Savior looks for in church workers. As we noted, the need that arose in that early Christian congregation at Jerusalem was that there were some widows who were being overlooked in the daily food distribution. And in the special meeting that was called, spearheaded by the 12 apostles, the proposal was brought to the floor that some lay workers be selected from among their number to take care of this need, and so that the apostles then could give their full attention to the main focus of the church, the ministry of the word. And so it came about, as we read here, that Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas were presented to the apostles, who then laid their hands on them and prayed that the work of the Lord that they carried out would be blessed in his name. This choosing of lay workers was, by the way, not an occurrence that was unique to that particular congregation. If you were to open your Bible to the book of Romans and page forward to the last chapter, you would find there a long list of names of people to whom the Apostle Paul sent his Christian greetings, who were serving in that congregation, and others, some of them elected, others just who stepped forward to serve the Lord with glad hearts. There was Priscilla and Aquila, a Christian couple, whom Paul says were my fellow workers in Christ, who even risked their lives for me. Phoebe, a lady member of the church in Kenchrea, just down the road from Corinth. Mary, who worked very hard for you. Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. My dear friend Stachys. Tryphena and Tryphosa, Christian women who worked hard for the Lord. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. And his mother, who has been a mother to me too, and then various others. It's just a partial list to whom Paul expresses gratitude to the Lord for the faithful support that they gave to the work of the church and for him personally. So we can see how there are a lot of lay people who were serving the Lord in Christian congregations of that era. And it wasn't until the church was corrupted in the centuries that followed under the papacy that lay people were thought to be unimportant for doing the work of God's kingdom, and the church regarded as an organization ruled and run by popes and bishops and such. And it was Luther, as you know, who helped to rediscover the glorious Bible truth that Jesus has a need for and loves to have lay people participate in the building of his kingdom too. It was to lay people that Paul wrote in Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all of them in all men. To each one, manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I mentioned that last chapter of Romans with a big long list of lay workers is spoken of by Paul. Four chapters earlier, he wrote to this same group of Christians in Romans chapter 12, if a man's gift is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him lead and govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. So there really isn't a single disciple, is there, of Jesus, laymen or not, to whom the Lord has not given the privilege of serving him in his church. Some in the front lines, others behind the scenes ways as a support troops. Secondly, let's consider the importance of the work of Christian lay workers. This being Installation Sunday here at St. Paul, let's think especially of the tasks our elected church officers do for the Lord in His name, as outlined in our St. Paul Constitution. For example, the work of elders, which is to maintain good order in worship services, to welcome visitors, and to aid the pastor in the spiritual and doctrinal matters of the church. The work of the president, which is to preside at voters' meetings and see to it that its decisions are faithfully carried out. The work of the vice president, which is to assist the president in the performance of his duties if he's not able to do so. The secretary, who is to keep an accurate and permanent record of the proceedings of the congregation. The treasurer, who is to manage the congregation's financial affairs, pay the bills, and also make reports presenting them to the voters at various meetings. Board of Trustees members, who are to manage the property affairs and oversee the upkeep of the Lord's house. Finance committee members, who are to count and record offerings received in our services. And we might also single out the work of the Phoebes, of the ladies of the congregation, that are also very important, who are also some of them elected to positions of responsibility among the ladies at the recent Mary Martha meeting. What lends importance to all of these various jobs in a Christian congregation, some of which seem kind of peripheral or mundane? Well, you know, it's because they're all related, aren't they? And are done to support the main work that Jesus has given us to do, which is the proclamation of His saving gospel word. And that's also what makes these works, these jobs, joyous and enables us to carry them out with zeal and enthusiasm, whether it's chairing a meeting or recording minutes or writing a check or planning a potluck or vacuuming a rug. Again, they're all done, aren't they? In the interest of, to buttress and to help our congregation carry on its main work, which Christ has given us to do, to proclaim that message that He died on the cross for us and rose again, that we might have life to the full now and in the life to come. What about the qualifications that the Lord looks for in His workers? Going back to our text, when the early Jerusalem congregation faced that need for help with the food distribution to widows, and that meeting was held to address the need, we read how the apostles counseled in this way: "Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." So they recommended that the congregation pick men in whom they recognized certain Holy Spirit-given aptitudes, men who were of honorable reputation, whose love for Jesus was evident, who had a heart for souls, who really appreciate, as we all do, the message of the gospel of forgiveness, and who were blessed also with an ample supply of sanctified common sense. And these are among the qualifications that Jesus still looks for in those who serve Him in His church today, and which He also graciously bestows. And that's what led our congregation at the annual meeting to select you, dear church officers of St. Paul, because of the Spirit-given aptitudes which were recognized in you. And may you be encouraged, may we all be encouraged in our work by the Lord's promise here that He will help you to fulfill your work. You can count on Jesus to crown your work with success. You read here in our text that the word of God spread and that the number of disciples increased. So the Holy Spirit blessed the Jerusalem church as a result of the prayerful appointing and dedicated working of those seven lay workers, Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And so also the Holy Spirit continues to do for his Christians today. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "I always thank God," this is in chapter 1 as he began his letter, "I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift." And that passage from Corinthians will be referring to later in installation ceremony. You could be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never done in vain. We read in the Psalms, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped." We can know also the Lord will do that for you, and he will bless our gospel ministry together, using the message of Christ crucified to comfort souls of our members with his forgiving love, to strengthen the faith of our membership, to lend reliable guidance to their lives through the word, and to lead others also through our church's ministry to anchor their hopes in him. It may not be a concern to us, dear friends, if we do not notice souls added to the church's stat sheet as far as outward growth of the church is concerned. Let us leave that to the Holy Spirit. Our concern and calling as Christians is simply to faithfully proclaim the word of truth. By the way, that 3,000 that soon mushroomed to 5,000 in Pentecost, that was the Holy Christian Church that was being referred to, not an outward organization, many of which were probably unknown to other Christians, because they cannot see the faith that is in the heart of people. And also, dear parishioners of St. Paul, let us remember to continue to lift up our church officers in our prayers. Let us petition Jesus to furnish them with needed wisdom, dedication, and steadfastness, that through the ministry that they carry on in Jesus' name, in his church, it may prosper, that sheep may be safely shepherded, and that the Lord's name be glorified. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.